All these songs that we just sang of confidence in what God can do. God can do. Say those three words with me. God can do. Those songs that say God can, even when I think I can't. Am I getting feedback here? Oh, that, yeah. I'm getting too close to that one. That God can, even when I think I can't, is what we're going to be talking about today. One word, hope. I hope it's a feel-good word, isn't it? We love the word hope. And hope isn't like about the weather. I hope it cools off. You know, it's not that kind of hope. We love to talk about hope. We love to sing about it. But do we really know what it means? And today I'm going to be talking about what it means biblically, what hope gives us spiritually, strength on the inner man, the inner person, right? Hope is powerful. And the third thing I want to talk about is why it's vital to God's plan for reaching people with the gospel relationally. Why is hope important there in our witness? So I'll be talking about that. But I'm going to begin with a question. This is a neighbor nudge, time for you to talk with someone around you. Hope, like courage, are not physical things. But we ask God for them, don't we? Lord, please give me the hope or the courage to face this or to endure this. My question is this: how will you know when God has given it to you? That's your talking time. Go ahead and talk with your neighbor for a second on that question. How will I know when God has given me the hope I'm asking for or the courage I'm asking for? How will I know that happened? Go ahead. Take a second and do that. Okay, let's throw out some thoughts here. Audience participation time here. What are some things you're coming up with? What are you thinking? How will you know when God gives you the hope that you ask for? What are some thoughts? Yes? Okay. It manifests itself in action. Other things? Yes. Okay, I have some peace on the inside of me. Even though there's turmoil on the outside of me, I can actually, is that really a real thing, you guys? Is it? I can have peace on the inside when there's turmoil on the outside. Our country's in turmoil. Has been for a while. And are you at peace? Are you fretting? Are you frantic? Do you have hope? Any other thoughts? Yes. Excellent. And that's really where hope takes us. Because, yes, ma'am?
Positive.
Okay. I'm not in the darkness. I'm letting my hope peel away the dark thoughts, the sadness, the oh no's of life, and puts me through to what you're saying is hope takes me into a future place. And it's the strength based on the character of God's holiness. Holiness, another word for holiness is purity. 1 John says there is no darkness in Him at all. God cannot be tempted by sin. God cannot be tempted to do something outside of His own character. God is stable. He's sure. He's not deviating. Okay? That's what we're looking for, right? That's what gives us hope, is to put our hope in the character, the nature, what God is like all the time, in Him. And then our hope is, okay, I'm following Him. That takes me to a future place. And that future place is the return of Christ. Help me endure, God. Give me the hope that says, stay here. Everybody say that. Stay here. Say it with me. Stay here. Don't run. Don't go looking for peace somewhere else. Stay here. In the midst of this darkness or troubled time or worry that we have. Okay, you guys just preached my sermon for me. Very good. Well done. Well, to be created in God's image means you have inside of you a true self. Somewhere inside of you, you have a true self. The self God created. And that self oftentimes gets covered up with things we've been told about us, negatives that we've, I'm studying that right now. I'm reading a book by, I think you guys, one of your Bible studies is talking about Living Fearless by Jamie Winship. And his mother told him he would never amount to anything. He's a disappointment to God. He heard it 1,000 times. And so he thought, that's who I am. My identity is I'm a disappointment. And so our true self can get covered up with that kind of stuff. And God says, no, there's a true self. There's a true you inside of you. I want you to know who you are. Okay? And I'm going to help you know who you are. And one of the ways of doing that is right here in Scripture, learning Scripture, being in the Word of God often. Okay, how many of you have a Bible app on your phone? Yeah. Read it every day. There's so many reading plans in there, topics you can study. It's wonderful. Do it every day. Bringing in the truth about who you are, the true self. Hope is one tool God gives us to stay on course for becoming who we really are in Christ. Do you know that we can block hope God is giving us? When we are living in the true self, we are regularly asking God, what do you want me to know about this or that? What do you want me to do with this or that? The true self asks those kinds of questions. But there's also an absolute telltale sign when we have shifted into the false identity, into the false self. We stop asking God for His wisdom. And we become our own counselor. And our own counselor says, uh-oh, this is bad. You better be afraid. You better start manipulating things, trying to control things so that it doesn't get worse. Okay? And we go into becoming controllers. When we become our own counselors, we stop listening to the counsel of God. We go back into our false self. And we get afraid. That's when you know you've gone into your false self. Fear is making you go into controlling actions and behaviors. This blocks hope and creates fear, which moves us to trying to control things. So today, let's look at number one, the meaning, the biblical meaning of hope. What does it really mean? In the New Testament Greek, the word hope means to have a confident expectation of the fulfillment of God's promises. A confident expectation. How is confidence built? It's built by experiencing through obedience the Word of God. And when God shows up and proves true in the midst of your obedience that He is present with you, that He is who He says He is, that He helps you endure, you build confidence in Him and His power to help you stay the course. Okay? So we stay the course like this, the Word of God. You look through the Word of God at the world, and you keep the Word of God very close. And you know who He is because you know who He says He is. And as you say, "Yes, Lord," you build confidence because He is a promise keeper. A confident expectation. But don't interpret the word expectation as demand. "God, you better give me." That isn't what the word expectation here means. The word expectation is that you can expect what God says you can expect from Him and be confident in that expectation. Now, what does God say you can expect? What does God say you can expect? This is another time to talk to your neighbor around you and answer this question. Name some things God says you can expect from Him. Ready? Go. What do you think? Yeah, what did He tell you? All right, let's come back together. Some things that we can expect from God. What are they? Salvation. Okay. What's that?
Courage.
I can expect courage from Him. Never leave or forsake me. In Matthew 28. Yeah. Bringing you back. Oh, that brings a picture to mind. You guys, this is an old painting. You've probably, all of you have seen it. It's a picture of Jesus reaching down over the edge of a cliff to get the sheep that went astray, right? Remember that picture? And He's hanging onto the edge of this cliff with His hand. He also has the shepherd's crook in His hand. He's hanging onto the rock. He's reaching down. And my question is, Jesus, why aren't you using the crook, for heaven's sakes, to get that sheep and bring it up there? And you be safe so you don't put yourself in danger. And Jesus is going, "That's not my way. I want that sheep to know my hand. I want that sheep to know I'm touching him. I'm with him on that cliff. And even though he has made a dumb choice to get where he is, I'm coming after him. And I'm pulling him back up. And I'm going to put him over my shoulders. You know what I'm going to do? Because he's done this too many times, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to break his leg." And I break his leg on purpose. And this is what a shepherd does to a wayward sheep. He breaks his leg and he wears that sheep around his neck for 6 weeks. And that sheep gets to know the shepherd. Here's where I'm supposed to stay. Oh, I get it. Yeah, God is good, isn't he? He wants you to know him, even in your dark places, in your dumb questions, your stupid decisions that you make. I've made a few, 100, 1,000. And Jesus comes to be present with you and take you back to safety, back home. That's good. I love that picture. Confident expectation. God is the reason hope exists because hope is built on the character of God's truthfulness. He cannot lie. Did you know that? God cannot, it's not in His character, His nature to lie. Hebrews 6:18 says, so God has given both His promise and His oath. Two things, these two things are unchangeable because it's impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have come to Him for salvation can have a great confidence as we hold on to the hope that awaits before us. Yeah, hope is powerful. So your hope in God is based in His character of holiness, His purity, in which telling a lie does not ever exist. So knowing what God says we can expect from Him is very important to our confidence in Him as a promise keeper. Very good. Number two, the power hope gives us spiritually. Hope gives you persevering power. How does hope help you remain true to God in the midst of trying times? Well, let's remind ourselves that our hope is based in the trustworthiness of God, who always tells the truth about fulfilling His promises to uphold us, to protect us, to guide us. He's always present. Do you know God is with you right now? You did not come to church. In fact, I want you to stop coming to church. Dwayne, don't tell Dwayne I said that. I want you to gather together. Do you know, historically, in about the 400s A.D., the church stopped meeting together in house churches, and because they became so plentiful, they said, let's meet together in bigger groups, and so they started gathering in larger places, and they called that gathering a church, which isn't wrong. The word ekklesia in the Greek means a gathering of people pulled out of darkness into the light to know who Christ is, so they know who they are, for the purpose of going back into the world to affect and impact the world. That's where we mess up. You see, we go to church. And in the 400s, when people started going to church, they stopped going into the world. Because they said, this is where church is at. They forgot they were church. Because they went to church. Brothers and sisters, Dayton, Washington needs you to be church. Not in these walls. Yes, in these walls for encouragement. Yes, in these walls for training and teaching. Yes, in these walls for praising God. All that is important. But we've made it Christianity. And the world is going to hell because we've done that. We need to be church wherever we are, every moment of every day. So let me ask you this. Do you believe God is truthful, reliable, dependable, worthy of believing that He will do what He says He will do? Let's understand that our answer grows stronger in faith as we actually trust in, here it comes, and act on God's faithfulness to uphold us in trying times. Hope is accumulative. What do I mean? What I mean is that each time you act on your hope that God is helping you as He promises, your hope grows more confident. Your hope grows more deeper. The tree of confidence puts down deeper roots into good water. Nutrients, what it needs. Your hope grows and that He is present with you right now. We need hope. We need the power of hope. So what do we know? The object of your hope is the truthfulness and trustworthiness of God to be who He says He is, holy and pure, in which there is no darkness at all. We also need to know the power of your hope is not activated until you act on, say those words with me, act on Okay, you can't say it, act on. You have to say it like this. Act on! There you go. Until you act on that hope, on that promise that God is a promise keeper. And as you act on that in the midst of a terrible divorce, in the midst of a country that we don't know where it's going to be tomorrow, in relationship troubles, in financial troubles, God, the promise keeper, is with you in that moment, in every moment. He has not left you. And you and I need to act on the hope that He is a promise keeper, that He is with us, that He's staying with us, that I need to keep hanging on to Him. And my counselor said to me one time, she said, "Delbert, we're going to practice praying." I said, "Okay. Here I am, a pastor. She's going to help me learn how to pray." And I thought, well, whatever. And so I kind of had some pride inside of me, you know, for being a pastor. And she said, "We're going to learn how to pray." And I said, "All right." So she says, "Delbert, I want you to pray about something. Whatever it is, you just pray." So I did. And when I got done, she said, "Well, that was interesting." I said, "What?" She said, "You asked for the same thing 13 times." I did? Yes, you did. 13 times. "Delbert, here's what I want you to know. God heard you the first time." Oh. You know what that did for me? Help me to trust that God is hearing me the first time. What does that do for me? What can it do for you to know that God hears you the first time? I don't have to ask 29 more times. Because every time I'm asking, it's like, "God, I know you didn't hear me the last time, so I got to say it one more time." No, God heard the first time. And so now my prayer is, "Lord, here's my need." And I get quiet. Because God heard me. And He hears you. And our job then is to be quiet so we can, what is it? Hear Him. Hear Him. Hope can run thin. After a while, that's why we need this gathering together, singing the songs, reading the scriptures, having hugs and hope and prayers and cards and visits, home visits with each other, phone calls, all of that. We need that because hope can run thin. My efforts to keep trusting God as the promise keeper can run thin. It gets tired. So does yours. That's why we need each other. And keep meeting together often, as the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 10:24. Especially as we see the day of Christ returning. That's right back to what you said. Hope has a future element to it. Not just the now moment. That's powerful. Paul also says, "Carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ," Galatians 6:2. Carry one another's burdens. Okay? Which means we should not say this about each other: "Wow, it sucks to be you. Sorry you're going through all that." No. Help me. Lord, help me carry someone else's burden. Now you be careful here not to carry too many burdens. You get tired too. But carry another person's burden. Maybe in prayer. Maybe financially, be a part of the answer in helping other people. Don't let their hope get too thin. Let's also remember that we have an enemy who wants you to think God is a liar. Remember Adam and Eve? Did God really say you would die? Putting doubt in her head. How many Christians who went through hardship left their faith in God because, here it comes, I want you to hear this, they let their circumstances determine who God was instead of letting who God is determine how they will respond to their circumstances. Big difference between those two. We can look at our circumstances and say, "This is impossible. I can't endure this anymore." And we can let our circumstances determine who God is. Where He's not. What He can't do. Be careful. Satan wants you to believe that stuff. This is the importance and power of anchoring our hope in God's character and His nature, being pure as a truth teller. It thwarts. We haven't used that word for a while, have we? Thwart. When I directed kid camps for years, and we had a song called the Thwart Song. And the kids loved it. It was an action song, and we thwarted Satan. Thwart means to stop or intercept Satan's plan. It thwarts Satan's plan for you to distrust God. So not only hope does give you persevering power, but hope also gives you purifying power. This is exciting. Purifying power. Because hope in God as a promise keeper causes you to remain true to Him in hard times. Your hope in Christ then expresses itself through perseverance and endurance under trial. You see, each time you practice hope under pressure, you are practicing, hear this, watch this, you are practicing waiting for the coming of Christ. There's the future hope. I'm going to endure this moment, this season, because there's a greater reward than just getting out of it. Christ is coming, and He's going to restore everything back to its original design, including me, including you. Woohoo! Okay, quick sidelight question. Where's heaven? I've studied this. My opinion, heaven is earth, made new once again, back to its original design. There's two Greek words for the word new in the New Testament. One means to be made new out of nothing that existed before. God created the earth out of nothing. Ex nihilo means to create out of nothing. And there's that new, but then there's the other new that says to be made new back to its original design. And that's the word new that's used to describe the new heaven and new earth. Oh! Eden, before the fall, heaven, where God walks with us in the cool of the evening. Oh! That's good stuff. Purifying power. This is the ultimate destination of hope, to remain faithful until Christ returns. Do you know that practicing waiting is one of the hardest things you will ever do on this earth? Waiting. Okay, everything in our culture says you deserve to have it your way. You deserve a break today. You deserve the very best. You deserve. You know what we really deserve is death on a cross. And Jesus took that from us. We didn't have to do that. And so when we listen to these advertisings that work very well, every one of you know all of them by heart, we say, oh, I need to get out of this hard place. This isn't good. I can't do this anymore. You're right. You can't. But the promise keeper with you can help you stay and endure until Christ returns. Woo! You know, Christians in other countries, there's at least 53, maybe 55 countries now that are not friendly to Christianity. And some are very, maybe half of them, are Christianity is very much persecuted. And we have brothers and sisters suffering right now while we sit in the comfort of these chairs singing wonderful songs. And they, you know what they ask us to do? They do not ask us to get them out of their situation. Isn't that amazing? They don't ask us to get them out of their situation. You know what they ask for? Help us endure this situation. I can't move away. I got to stay here. Help me endure this until Christ returns. That's a powerful prayer. Let's pray that right now. Father God, we pray for our brothers and sisters in other places who are suffering mightily, who thirst for water, hunger for food, who've lost family members, who've seen family members killed right in front of them. They've seen horrible things. They experience deep trauma. And yet, Father, they ask us to help them endure, to practice waiting. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Oh, it's powerful. Hope is powerful, and it purifies the soul. Why? Because while I'm waiting, I'm saying no to opportunities and avenues of escape. Here's a way out, Satan says. All you got to do is, here, Eve, eat the fruit. Purifying hope says, no, I'm staying right here. I'm staying in the midst of this because my God is here. He has His hand on me. I can endure this. Don't like it? Yes, I want out of here, but I'm staying. Purifying power. It's in the persevering of hardship that you daily and minutely, right? Maybe secondly. Anybody been struggling to get out of an addiction? Raise your hand if you have an addiction. Everybody should. We all have one, or two or three. You know, I've lost 12 pounds this summer driving pea combine. And you know why I've lost 12 pounds? Because I can't take my refrigerator into the combine with me. That's why. We are staying put, and when we're in hardship, daily or minutely, decide that the escape routes of this world offers from hardship means you don't let the voice of fear become your counselor. Uh-oh, this is bad. If you're going to survive this, you better get out of this now. No, stay here. During my ministry at ACC, there was a six-month time when we studied the role of men and women in the church. You know how many pastors avoid that topic? Because there's a lot of opinion. And I discovered a lot of opinion for us going through that study. I discovered some women don't trust other women as far as they can throw them. And women would come to me and say, if you have a woman in leadership, I wasn't going there. But fear took over. And it was a horrible time. And I was still pretty deep in my people-pleasing as a pastor as I grew up. Fearful of disappointing people. And I said, God, I am ready to resign today. And God said, nope. Because He knew that the issue of the role of men and women in the church would be over someday. And when we finally, as leadership, decided where we were going to land on that issue and explained that to the congregation, things began to settle. But God knew that I needed to go through that and stay put and endure that to discover who God is in me. The power He has to help me stay put. And that I really could endure the terrible fear, the treacherous, gut-wrenching fear I would feel in my stomach of people being displeased with me. And I was so ready to cut and run. God said, no. You know what I came out of that with? Some really deep healing of my soul. I discovered a new Delbert. The true Delbert. Ooh! Through that horrible 6 months, I had to hope I'd never have to go through that again. All right. Let's go to number 3. Hope magnifies your testimony. People who are looking for escape from the constant fear they feel in the craziness of our world, the problems they're experiencing relationally, economically, and so on, where nothing is stable, nothing is calm, nothing is peaceful. That makes those of us who put our hope in God easy to spot, because people of hope are calm in the storm. Did you know that? Your church, I want you to know this. I'm going to ask it as a question. What would Dayton, Washington be missing if your church did not exist? This is the question, leadership, you need to discuss. And out of that discussion, build purpose for why you exist. And let your congregation know, this is why we exist. And as I did that with my church family, the things we learned was that our church and the three little other churches in town combined became an emotional anchor to our town. And the proof that really came to me out of that was three of our pastors in the area, Athena and Weston, we started our counseling training together, 3 years of counseling training. And you know what you do in counseling training? You bare your soul to the class, because you're working on healing. And so we were working on healing, all three of us pastors. We bonded together. And after our training was over, we started having worship services together. We would bring the whole community, come, we're going to come together. And after one of the services, at the end of the service, me, John Nichols, Bill Dobus, were up front hugging each other, being bonded together in community of churches. And a man, not a woman, but a man came up to me. This really blows my mind. A man came up to me and said, Delbert, when I see you pastors doing that, I feel safe. Your church, when you can be in relationship with other churches and work together, your community goes, oh. Non-Christians are watching that. Your ability to be calm in the midst of the storm, CBC, is calming to people who are watching you. You don't know it, but you know they are, right? You know they are. They're watching you. There's a calmness. God is here. And you take God and Jesus, Holy Spirit, with you wherever you go. And you bring a calmness to your community. People are relying on their churches, even though if they even agnostics, atheists, will still say, man, the churches are wonderful having this time together of strength. Or the opposite. Churches just hating each other. Why would I want any part of that? I have that in my life now. Hope magnifies your testimony. And do you know that people who are looking for calm people to help them learn how to be calm? People have questions for you. How do you be calm with what's going on in our country politically, economically? Things are bad. How do you do that? Well, give them reasons for your hope. I'm going to give you two. Number one, because you are confident in the truth of Scripture as an unerring word of God means you're not frantically looking for truth in 100 different places. When you look for truth, you go right here, right? You bend your knee and you pray. And you pray God's word. Here's a great prayer. Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians, chapter 1. Chapter 2. Chapter 1. There we are. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you... Here it comes. Paul is praying for you right now that God may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. Now, the word know here is gnosko, and actually it's epignosko in the Greek, which means to know experientially, not just academic knowledge. I can know all kinds of things about Scripture in here and never put it to practice because it's not experiential yet. To know the Word of God, I have to experience the Word of God through obedience. And that's what Paul's praying for. Powerful, powerful. And he goes on. Reason number two, because God is pure, he does not lie, you are confident that your salvation in Christ is secure. It's safe. As God says it is, Romans 5:8, Romans 8:31 through 39, that whole section is about God telling you, you are more than conquerors in Christ. Nothing can take you away from God. You have everything you need for life and godliness, so says Peter, so you don't need to look anywhere else. Good stuff. Hope. Confidence. Your confident hope in God means you are calm and stable people. Talk radio host Charlie Kirk. Anybody hear Charlie Kirk on the radio? Who is a strong Christian. He's doing powerful things in our country with Christ. He said that Christians are the only ones on the planet who really know what's going on in the world, and they are calm in the midst of the storm. Powerful. What a witness hope is through Charlie Kirk. This in itself is attractive to people frantically looking for stability. I'm going to show you two faces. Here's the first one. This is my calm face. My calm face. People are, and I'm like this. And then there's people who are frantically looking for hope somewhere. Is it here? Is it here? Maybe I should buy that and do this. You know how much money is being spent on trying to find hope today? Holy cow. Right here. A calm face comes from a calm spirit. Your hope inside of you is being seen on the outside of you. So let's close today with this. Think of your hope in Christ as your identity. It's who you are. I am a person of hope. Say that. I am a person of hope. Based on the character and nature of God as a truth teller. People who don't know their true identity only take from others. People who know their true identity give and receive. If you're in fear, you're taking. Okay? If you're in peace, you're giving and receiving. Hope is not denying the hard things of life we experience. Instead, hope is walking with God as a promise keeper he truly is in the midst of life trials, revealing that God is alive. Craig, you asked the question. Is he dead? What's our answer?
No.
Our answer is no. God is alive. And how you live out your hope tells people that. Give that message loud and clear. My God is alive. Close with this scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not become your own counselor, leaning on your own understanding. Instead, in all your decisions, submit to him. And he will keep your mind and your heart going strong in the calmness and truth of God, the promise keeper. Father, thank you for helping us understand hope. We need you. Help us to realize hope is not just a fun word to sing about. It's power, it's strength, based in who you are. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo-hoo!